and we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, I very affectionately greet you here from Germany, and I'm very much looking forward to the second part of our series. Let me very briefly describe to you the situation here. We are, of course, neighbor to a major conflict, and we are busy in doing what we as monks or spiritual people can do to help. We have yagyas, prayers, we take care, we send devotees with cooking pots who cook for the people who need it, and we are here discussing how to welcome refugees. It is a special time of the year which moves us very much. A time which requires a good response. It is said, when darkness becomes more, the light needs to be increased and put into all the areas so that the darkness goes. So as spiritual people, I want, as a spiritual person, I want to today engage all of you in a process of contacting the divine strengths of Lord Nityananda, and we will pray for him that he will empower all of our actions, because my special emphasis in presenting Lord Nityananda will be to obtain his blessings and divine empowerment for everything which we are going to do in our lives. I would like Venkatabhatta to put in our first slide, because right in the beginning I want to engage all of you to chant the pranam mantra of Lord Nityananda. It is, I think, the next slide which will show the pranam mantras. I will chant it, and thank you, and we will, I will request you to chant it along with me. Nityananda namastupiyam. We will chant in one way. Nityananda namastupiyam. Premananda pradayine. Kalo kalmashanashaya. Janava pataye namaha. I offer my pranam unto Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who bestows the bliss of divine love, who eliminates the contamination of the age of Kali, and who is the Lord and Master of Janavi Devi. Let us take the slide down, please, and ask ourselves, who is that Lord Nityananda who is bestowing divine, the bliss of divine love? What is his personality? Well, the scriptures describe that he is the first and foremost of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They say, if you want to come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is a gateway, a door, which you need to take, and that is Sri Nityananda Prabhu. During Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, his secretary, Swarup Damodar, kept a diary where he wrote about Lord Nityananda, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as an eyewitness, so to say. He was there when this most recent incarnation of God was spreading a flood of love. And he wrote, what is the function of all the members of the Panchatattva? What is their role? What did they contribute to that, let us say, flooding of the world with love of Godhead, which started with the Panchatattva? And he said, Nityananda is especially spreading the bliss or the ananda of prema. Love has many aspects, and one is this huge joy, this overboding joy. It will become a little bit clearer what he meant when we hear a few eyewitnesses who saw Lord Nityananda. What did they see? Well, I have made a note of these eyewitnesses' report, and they said, this Nityananda smiled constantly, and there was an uninterrupted flow of tears of love that came from his lotus eyes. These tears soaked his entire body, and those who were fortunate to stand near to him experienced that these tears came sometimes like water that was sprayed from syringes on them. He was absolutely ecstatic. There are many reports that he would roll on the ground, his body flooded with tears, and he loudly used to chant, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. His eyes would be restless, they would roll about, because he would make sure he would look at everyone, and through his gaze he was known to empower those who stood nearby with also ecstatic symptoms of this love of God. He was mostly requesting people whom he came in contact with to chant the Lord's holy name, and he would be so ecstatic that anyone who came was just lifted out of his material consciousness, and they started to laugh, dance, and weep. This is the eyewitnesses who speak. Lord Nityananda would go with a group of a few thousand people who just followed him, being drawn to his ecstasy, and he would engage in massive kirtans. There were 16 madangas, and he would travel from village to village, community to community, and his presence there had the most amazing effects, because he would immediately, and you will hear this word a few times in this presentation, empower people with so much spiritual strength that they would sometimes fast for a few days. Eating became boring, sleeping became boring. They would dance, and in their ecstasy they sometimes would not know what to do with their strength. So sometimes children were seen to uproot huge trees. And they would climb trees and dance on the branches. My dear devotees, my dear listeners, and my dear skeptics also, Lord Nityananda was an ecstatic madman, you would call it. He was one of these God-intoxicated saints who had such a profound effect on the consciousness. Here's another eyewitness. Overwhelmed with ecstasy, Nityananda Prabhu roared like an intoxicated lion. I have only seen a normal lion in Africa, but he was quite loud. So this was a very enhanced loudness. His pastimes were all beyond the Vedic prescriptions and prohibitions. My dear devotees, he was not preaching the tamed and calmed down religiosity you find in organized religion. He would bring to the foreground the ecstasy and joy and overwhelming pleasure which comes when the soul meets his beloved Lord. Sometimes in his joy he would climb up a kadamba tree, and sometimes he would play a flute while standing in a threefold bending posture. I admit that for people of the 20th century, these descriptions are challenging, but what if we have developed into a mode of living that is unnaturally depleted of spiritual ecstasy? What if our civilization, on which we are so proud, has taken care of everything else than the joy of the soul? These are some questions which need to be looked upon. Narottam Das Thakur was singing about this miracle of love. Ha ha, Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, Kripovala Chanakaro, Ami Bado Dukhi. Oh, Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in ecstatic love. Please glance upon me with compassion, for I am somehow very sorrowful. In this session, my dear listeners, I want to share with you three amazing features of Lord Nityananda that are very eye-opening and show us how to understand this spiritual phenomena of spiritual bliss. But more than that, I would like to show you and take you through a few exercises so that you can access his unconditional mercy. Second, spiritual strength that comes into your life. And third, a divine empowerment. For my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the presentation of Krishna consciousness was always very straightforward. He wanted people to experience what it is. Yes, it is good to hear philosophy, because then our intellect can get a direction in which it can search. But ultimately, we need an experience, because it is the experience which transforms our heart. It is the experience which proves the reality of spiritual existence. So the mercy, the spiritual strength, and the empowerment are three types of experiences that we can get or make in the association of Lord Nityananda. After all these years, we may still feel we lack this joy-filled bhakti in our heart. After all these years, some of us might feel even, will it be possible for me to obtain this joyful, and in a way ecstatic God realization. And after all these years, we may take courage that yes, all these experiences can be made if we can obtain even a drop of divine mercy. Unconditional mercy helped two personalities who came in contact with Lord Nityananda. This unconditional mercy helped Jagai and Madai. They were two drunkards of Navadvip who were violent. It is reported that they engaged in thefts and in rape, and they had fallen totally from the Brahminical platform. After they met Lord Nityananda, who gave them his unconditional mercy, they chanted three lakhs of holy names, that means 196 or 92 rounds a day, and they became inspired devotees whose association was looked after by advanced sages. So yes, Lord Nityananda can also give us his unconditional nature. I want to talk about the spiritual strengths which Lord Nityananda would use to give people. See, if you want to accomplish a material feat, you need material strengths, money, intelligence, maybe physical strengths, and so on. But if you want to attain anything in your spiritual life, material or physical strengths cannot really make it happen. It has to be happening by spiritual strengths. Nayamatma balahinena labhya. Without the mercy, says this text, and strength of Lord Balaram and Nityananda, you will never understand your spiritual identification. You will remain totally fixed in the narrative that is based on the false identification of the eternal soul with the body, and you will be in a little problem and as far as your spiritual realization is concerned. So how do we obtain the spiritual strengths of in our lives? It is done by a very simple process, which we will all do now together. There is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that gives us immediately a clue how to obtain the spiritual strengths of Lord Nityananda. I like verses, and I will chant it for you. Prema Matta Nityananda Kripa Avatara Uttama Adhama Kichu Nakare Vichara. Yes, we have it there. We can chant it together. Prema Matta Nityananda Kripa Avatara Uttama Adhama Kichu Nakare Vichara. Ye Age Padaye Tare Karaye Nishtara Ateva Nishtari Lamo Hena Duracha. The translation which we will see in the next slide. Because Nityananda is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. So this is what is required. You need to surrender. You need to have a vision of reality and really humble, take on a humble position. I remember how difficult it is to surrender and fall down. I would not do it. I visited the temple many, many times. And when I saw the devotees bowing down, I just simply couldn't do it. A year later, my father visited the temple, and at that time, it took me a year, he saw me bowing down and he said, "What did you just do?" In our culture, we just nod like this, the head. that's all. And don't forget, you are coming from our clan. Our clan is not bowing down to anyone. We don't surrender to anyone. So I said to him, "My dear father, please sit down. I want to tell you something. Once, when my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, had given his lecture, all the devotees bowed down. And there was one student, and he's, when it came time for question and answer, he said, 'I don't want to bow down to anyone.' It just came out of his mouth so strongly. And Prabhupada said, 'Yes, but you are forced to bow down. You're forced to bow down to disease. You're forced to bow down to old age. And you're forced to bow down to death. You can't avoid it.' The question is to find a place where bowing down gives you pleasure, not where bowing down becomes a miserable experience. And that place where when you bow down you feel pleasure in the heart, that is Krishna." So I told him also, "You were fighting in the Second World War and you were forced to bow down to and surrender to the Red Army, and that was a miserable experience for you. So allow me to bow down to Krishna. Joyfully give me your permission, because that will free the soul from unlimited bondage in this world." So he said, "You always want to have the last word." But he saw the point. Yes. So how can we bow down and get the mercy and spiritual strength? There is a wonderful process. It is chanting the 12 names of Nityananda Prabhu. It is said that if you chant these, you become very quickly free from all miseries, all obstacles, and all the difficulties in life, and you attain the fulfillment of all your most cherished and most intimate desires in life. I don't know if you have some most cherished desire, huh? Some of you smile. That's not something to say in public in the internet. Or your most intimate desire. Woo, this is little private, little confidential. So they will be fulfilled by chanting these 12 names. And I have chanted them. Sometimes people ask me, why do you always smile? And I said, I'm happy. I can't help it. It's a condition of my heart somehow. I think it comes because I chanted these names. So here, my dear everyone, Venkatabhata will put the names in. Yes, I just need to find the right tune. Hare Krishna. Nityanando Vadu Tendur Vasudha Pranavallabha. So this is the tune. Please everyone join me. Nityanando Vadu Tendur Vasudha Pranavallabha Janavi Jivitapati Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu Padmavati Sutta Shriman Sachinandana Purvajaha Bhavan Mato Jagatrata Rakta Gaura Kalevara. We will go a little higher. Let's do it again. Nityananda Vadu Tendur Vasudha Pranavallabha Janaviji Vitapati Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu Padmavati Sutta Shriman Shachinandana Purvajaha Bhavan Mato Jagatrata Rakta Gaura Kalevara. It is pretty straightforward. We can take the 12 names down now from the screen. It is an easy process. Spiritual sound has the ability to structure everything. This whole universe has come into being, say the Vedas, because of sound. And the influence of this universe can be overcome by divine sound. Sound, in other words, is the first structuring principle. It structured matter, it can structure lives. And therefore, those on the spiritual path are scientists in spiritual sound. They know how to apply the spiritual sound in such a way that it has tremendous effects on their personal life, and also on the lives of others. I remember I was once with a group of monks chanting in Heidelberg, and without me knowing, we had a walking procession where we chanted kirtan. We came in between a demonstration. On one side there were the policemen, and on the other side there were young people who demonstrated. I forgot for what they demonstrated. But what I remember is the policemen were all dressed like soldiers who were going to war with huge shields and weapons to beat the other side. And the demonstrators had stones, and as we were coming there, they just had started to throw these stones on the Polish people, and the Polish people got the dogs out of the cages, and it was just going to become violent and extremely dangerous. So I noticed all this in the blink of an eye, and it was too late to go back, so I went right in between the conflict. We stopped the kirtan, and we started to chant. And the Polis said, "Move, move, move," but we didn't move. It was a particular joyful atmosphere. And after some time, my dear everyone, the conflict resolved. The people put down their stones. The Polish people eased up and put down their shields and their weapons. And I stopped the kirtan and I said, "Sorry, I didn't intend it, but to be here, I just want to say, violence is never a solution. Maybe you should talk to each other. I don't know. We will continue doing our kirtan." So we left and did kirtan. And I heard from the newspapers later that the conflict was resolved peacefully by negotiations. Spiritual sound, this is my point, has a structuring effect on your own consciousness, brain, and also it spreads into the atmosphere. Therefore, I suggest that you try chanting these 12 names of Lord Nityananda to make a spiritual experience. I would now like to tell you a little pastime of Lord Nityananda, which is very amazing and very relevant. I will take a little help of my notes here. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet, there was not a common understanding about Gauranga Mahaprabhu. There were different perspectives. He had come as an incarnation of God. He had spread kirtans with millions of people singing and chanting. It was unprecedented. There was a spread of spirituality that had never been seen before. He uplifted outcasts and made them holy men. And when he left, people needed to digest what had just happened. At that time, one great saint emerged. His name was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote a work, it's called Chaitanya Charitamrita, that presented a final understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and unified all these various movements that had sprung up after his appearance. Now, how this saint was able to do this, or how this writer was able to do this, was only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, by the empowerment of Lord Nityananda. And to hear this narration is very uplifting. In the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, this writer, our secondary hero, thank you, there he is on the right side, the devotee who is prayerful, there was a constant kirtan going on. Deities were worshipped. He had a brother called Syamdas, and a family priest called Gunanava Mishra. And there was once, they invited a great devotee of Lord Nityananda called Minikatana Ramdas to come to the house and engage in lead the kirtan. So when Minikatana Ramdas arrived, he went right into the courtyard, sat down, and all the Vaishnavas who were there came to offer him obeisances. He was also very ecstatic. Minikatama Ramdas climbed on the shoulders of these Vaishnavas. He had a flute in his hand, and there was a constant shower of ecstatic tears coming from his eyes. So he was also very ecstatic, and he shouted the names of Nitai, Nitai all the time. People were simply astonished to see this being who looked like a person from another world, really. There was only one person who did not pay his respect or attention to this great devotee. This was the family priest, Gunanava Mishra. And he didn't do this because he thought, this person is so beyond everything. He's so out of the box. This is because his master Nityananda is also so absolutely out of the box. And he was more or less a follower of conventional religions, and he had no regard for the purpose of religion, that is to develop all overwhelming love of Krishna. So Minikatama Ramdas could understand that because Lord Nityananda was not honored in the house of this Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he didn't feel happy. It's almost, you know, when you come to a family and those who love and hold very dear in your heart, they are not respected and they are even criticized, then you don't like to stay in that house where your beloved ones are criticized. So Minikatama also left in great sadness, and when he left, he broke the flute and threw it on the ground. Very emotional. When Krishnadas saw this, he corrected the priest and the brother, and he said, you have to understand, Lord Nityananda is a divine personality, and you can't accept just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and not Nityananda. They are like brothers, and so on. Then he went to bed and he felt very troubled. Krishnadas Kaviraj thought, my brother and the family priest have made a great offense against a great devotee. Now I do not know what will happen to our family. Now doom is going to come. So as he slept, as he went to bed and fell asleep, he had an amazing experience. That night Nityananda appeared to him because of the good quality of putting the wrong right and chastising the brother. And he said, Uta Uta, arise, arise, O Krishnadas. And this is what you see in this photo. Krishnadas has gotten up from bed and looks at Nityananda. He saw the most wonderful personality who looked like Cupid, the god of love. He had a darkish complexion. He was shining like millions of moons. He was dressed in blue silk. He had a turban, a golden earring. There were associates on all his sides who were dressed like cowherd boys. They had horns, they had flutes. And Lord Nityananda whirled a red stuff and called out in a deep voice, Krishna, Krishna. There were bees swarming around his lotus feet, and Krishnadas Kaviraj looked at him and couldn't understand what he was seeing. Nityananda then spoke to him, Don't worry a bit. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things which you desire. Then he directed him with his hand, and I think on this painting you can see the left arm of Lord Nityananda showing towards Vrindavan. Goes like this, oops, like this. Sorry, it's very difficult for me to show. Go to Vrindavan, because there you will obtain all the desires. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami woke up in the morning, we can take down this photo now. When he woke up in the morning, Sekshan, at that very moment, he went to Vrindavan. And this is the first lesson when you want spiritual empowerment of Lord Nityananda. Be detached from your own plan and be open, become open to the Lord's plan. The first lesson in spiritual empowerment is when one door closes in your life, have faith that somewhere else another door or two other doors have already been opened for you. If you try to run through the door that is closed for you, bring a hammer even and do everything in your power to break through that door, you will just run with your head against the door and against the wall. Be detached from your own plan. Then you can see the opportunities which have been, which are always there and which are much better than your own plan. So Krishnadas Kaviraj is teaching us the first lesson for someone who wants to be empowered, to be detached from his or her own plan and open to the divine plan. Then Krishnadas Kaviraj went to Vrindavan. He arrived in Vrindavan and he had nothing. He had left everything, family, home. What was he seeing there? Vrindavan at that time was just starting to become the epicenter of Vaishnavas. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, used to assemble there and in a temple, the temple of Govindaji. And what would they do there? They would listen to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. We can imagine some of them had seen maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but others had not seen him. But they all had heard about him. So they were listening to his pastimes from one book. The book is called Chaitanya Mangalam. It was called like this. Now it's called Chaitanya Bhagavat. But unfortunately, this book, which they were reading over and over again to nourish their discussions about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, only dealt with the early pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. There was not much information about what Lord Chaitanya did after he left Navadvip and his home and took sannyas. And so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami came there, and in his heart he had a great desire to be useful to those devotees who were sitting many hours a day and talking about Lord Chaitanya, singing kirtan, worshipping the deity. And he had this desire, I want to somehow in this new life which is there for me. I'm now together with these devotees. I left my hometown. I want to be of service. And this is the second lesson which every one of us needs who wishes for divine empowerment. Have a strong desire to serve. If it is not strong, your desire at the moment, you need to be with those people who have who do a lot of service. And this will infect you. So Krishna Das Kaviraj had the desire, I want to give them subjects to think about, to read about the Lord Chaitanya's later pastimes. But he felt very unable to do this. I think when we develop, when we look at our spiritual desires, yes, we also think, am I really able to do this? Could I really invite people to my home and make home programs? Could I give a lecture in CBN News? I think that's CBN or something like this. American News. Could I really do something which is beyond what is possible for me at the present moment? But please listen to what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said so nicely about strong desires. He said, if your desire to serve is beyond your capacity, but still you act without hesitation, that is the moment where divine empowerment takes place. If your desire to serve is beyond your present capabilities, but you act without hesitation, thinking, with Krishna's mercy, it is possible, then you can do things way beyond what you could do on your own steam, because divine empowerment has reached you. So the devotees saw that he was a writer, and they said, can't you write something about the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And he said, I like to serve, but I'm very old. I'm 80 years old. I need your blessings. So the Vaishnavas blessed him. And the Vaishnavas also gave him tips, but ultimately anyone who wants to do something for Krishna needs Krishna's blessings. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami understood, I'm asked to write this book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I feel totally incapable, I'm foolish, he said, I'm lowborn, I'm insignificant, and I always desire material enjoyment. Yet, by the order of the Vaishnavas, I'm enthusiastic. I want to serve. I want to write this transcendental literature. So he went to the temple of Madan Mohan, a temple in Vrindavan, and he prayed. And when he prayed, a garland slipped from the deity. The priest picked this garland up, and he understood, this is for this Vaishnava who is standing before the altar praying intensely. And he put that garland around Krishna Das Kaviraj. And Krishna Das Kaviraj could see that as a sign that his prayer for divine empowerment had been accepted. Yes. So he writes, and this brings us to the fourth lesson, I'm old and I'm troubled by invalidity. I'm almost blind and deaf. My hands tremble and my mind and intelligence is unsteady. I can't remember anything. I'm infected by so many diseases. I can't even walk properly, nor can I properly sit. I don't want to speculate what diseases he had, that he could not sit properly and not walk. I'm always exhausted, but still, I'm writing. I'm writing this book, palm leaf after palm leaf. This is the fourth lesson in empowerment. My dear everyone, be prepared to face and overcome difficulties. Sometimes Krishna wants to see how serious you are. You might have to convince him by being prepared to take on some austerities. Prabhupada was writing to us about this, not running back when this first obstacle is there. He said, an easygoing life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization cannot go together. An easygoing life and attainment and perfection of realization don't go together. You will get all these in your handouts, which we have prepared. So, in this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote, Lord Nityananda had appeared to him, he had pointed him towards Vrindavan, and he had arranged the circumstances of his life, that he would meet the devotees, that he would get an order to write, become an instrumental force in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami remained always very humble. And that's the fifth lesson in empowerment. If you want to hold empowerment, you cannot allow yourself to become a victim of arrogance and pride. You have to become humble, and that's what he did. He always wrote after each chapter, I'm paying my most humble obeisances to Rupa and Raghunath Goswamis. And in this way, I write this work. In his work, there were 1,600 Sanskrit slokas from very, very remote places in the Vedic scripture. He had to remember really a huge work of literature. He wrote many original verses. I mean, he wrote the work in Bengali, in an old Bengali, and it became the force, the shape, which shaped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement even up to this present day. When you see any devotee of Lord Chaitanya talking about the teachings of the great master Mahaprabhu, then you will see that they refer to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes, there are various movements in the Vaishnava tradition, but they all know Chaitanya Charitamrita is supreme, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had really, kept the empowerment, and he could write this work till the end, and it's amazing what this has done. Good. You can also apply these five principles of how you can get empowerment, and in your handout, we will send it to you. No? We have written it down to you. Now, my dear everyone, it's time to sing and to meditate. I will request Gokrishna Prabhu to sing a song with all of you. Wow, Venkatavata, you are, it is called Nitai Gunamani. Prabhupada used to sing it very often, and let us sing it immediately. And please sing in the microphone, Gokrishna. Because we have a little time, we will just sing, go through it all together.
Namani Amam.
My dear devotees, I would request all of you to now close your eyes. We will do a little meditation of Lord Nityananda and invite him into the core of our heart. Please relax your body. First the legs, the chest and the lower body. Relax your shoulders and your face. Take a few deep breaths. And now bring your mind to meditate about Lord Nityananda. May I always remember the smiling face and form of Sri Nityananda Ram. His attractive pace is like that of an elephant who sways left and right as he moves. His cloth is as elegant as a blue lotus flower. His bodily effulgence conquers the splendor of the rising moon at sunset. His love-filled eyes look like bumblebees. Meditate, oh meditate, about the smiling face of that Nityananda. May open your eyes now. Take a few deep breaths and settle into room awareness. Thank you so much. Thank you also so much, Gokrishna, for your very moving singing. I think we all appreciate this. We will give you the text of this song, and then later you can learn the melody and sing it. Yes, we can. I'm here. We are back again. Are you still? Yes. The energy looks clearly changed. You have meditated. Congratulations. Let me now come to the last part. It's the videos which we have brought for you. Am I announcing this? Yes. We wanted to create in this series a special experience, an experience of Lord Nityananda. And therefore we have requested the priests in Mayapur if they could help us to create this experience, and they were immediately enthusiastic, and this was the idea we came about. You can write down your names. That is, yes, the and then you see here on the right side this name. All the names are put on a pieces of paper, and then these pieces of paper are brought to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also Nityananda, and then a puja is made for you. So we have two short videos. I think the first video, as I see it, is here is the first video. It is in our ISKCON Mayapur temple in you can see here already the in the still photo the lists of names. You can still, and yes, this is the video. The puja is going on. Please, all the sandals are also there. Please, if you like, you may fold your hands and you may pray to Lord Nityananda to be also given his mercy, his spiritual strength, and the divine empowerment. And if you can also please say a prayer for the devotees and the people in the conflict zones of the Ukraine. Wonderful, wonderful. So then our second video will show the house of Nandanandan Acharya. That's the place where Lord Chaitanya met with Nityananda for the first time, and where they for the first time were acting as Gornitai. And we have also given a list, the same list of names, and they are offered at the lotus feet of Nityananda, and a puja, an arati is going on, as you can see. It is really amazing and heartwarming how through this technology we can be right there. You're right here in this ceremony, Haribol. Krishna, wow. Amazing, isn't it? You must say this is wonderful. Our Gokumar has given you a link. If you still have people you want that they get blessings, or if you are new to this series and your name was not there, our next personality is Advaita Acharya. We will do the same. We will have a ceremony done in our Mayapur temple, and then at a place where he appeared directly, so the blessings are there. Before I end this program and go to the question and answers, I'm again a little over time, but what to do, the subjects, I can't speak faster, and I already read it. Only a drop I have tried to present, and already it takes more time. What to do? I want to give a summary. If you want now the mercy of Nityananda, then there are three things which I recommend you to do. My dear everyone, let us not become spiritually undeveloped by thinking, oh yeah, this was in the past. this is a personality of the past, and I can't get in contact with this. Is God a person of the past? No. He is very much present in the present moment. So here are three things which I wanted to present to you. There are three blessings of Nityananda. First is his mercy, his unconditional mercy. Do this, access this mercy by bowing down, you know, just submitting, surrendering. Bow down, mister, bow down, sister. It is important for you. Water always flows from a higher altitude and goes to a lower. So by bowing down, we take a position where we can receive mercy. I've given you a verse in your handout where this is said. Then, if you want to obtain inner strength, please chant these 12 names of Lord Nityananda. It takes you hardly 20 seconds a day. Even a busy New Yorker like Hari Prasad has 20 seconds. 20 seconds. It is possible. And the next is the divine empowerment, how to get divine empowerment. I request you to just process and go through these five timeless principles of divine empowerment, which you will get in your handout. Gokumar, how do people get their handouts? Do you just send it to everyone? Please tell me.
So Maharaj, it's already in the chat. I've already put the link of the handout in the chat, and we'll also be sending out an email.
Good. Fine. Then we have a little time for question and answers. Venkata Bhatta has just put something in the chat. Please give your... Or would you like to explain it, Venkata Bhatta? See, we have a whole team here. It's like a... really something well organized.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you, everyone. I may have inadvertently pasted the wrong thing into the chat box, so please ignore that if it's I think it was someone's specific question. But we are we have a number of really amazing, wonderful, honest, heartfelt questions for you, Maharaj. Some that I'm very happy to ask on behalf of the devotees by name, and others devotees have requested to be asked anonymously. So in the interest of time, we would love to have everyone be able to ask their questions themselves and interact with Maharaj. And there will be a little bit of time at the end just to offer our respects and say Hari Bol and Hare Krishna to one another. But in the interest of time, I'm going to ask questions on behalf of everyone and put them towards Maharaj. I'm also going to try my best to combine and conflate questions that are similar to each other so we can make the most of our time together. And Maharaj, we're all okay going a little over time as long as you are, but please do let us know if you feel that maybe there's an appropriate place to stop for the day. We want to honor your time as well. Thank you so much. So Maharaj, if I might ask the first question that we have, and the first question actually is an anonymous one. Let me read it here. It says, many years ago, I heard you speak about your special connection to Lord Nityananda and the fact that your birthday fell on Lord Nityananda's appearance day. Could you briefly share this again and how you have personally felt Nityananda Prabhu's mercy in your own life?
Yes. Once I asked a person who is able to make astrological calculations, about my birthday, and he came back and said, "You were born on the same day where Lord Nityananda appeared." So I was overwhelmed with happiness. You know, you feel just very good when you are having your birthday. You hope there is some blessing in your life. Then I found out that this blessing was connected with some work. I had to find, because I was asked to give lectures about Lord Nityananda and on my birthday, and I needed to do a lot of research. So I found out what amazing personality he is, how he is really that aspect of the divine truth, that facet which brings the ananda, the joy of spiritual life. And I needed to find that out, so I made a journey to his birthplace in Ekachakragram and spent there a little bit more than 2 weeks trying to make a living connection to Lord Nityananda. I must say, I was all by myself, because I thought this is the deity of my, I have something, there is a relationship which I need to explore, and I thought it to be such a private affair, which was going deeply into the innermost core of my existence. The time when I was born was his appearance day. That I said, let me do this on my own. And I chanted many, many extra rounds. I tried to make contact with him. And to be very honest, I was younger than now, and I did not know how to make spiritual contact. So at that time, I got to know these 12 names of Lord Nityananda, and I started to chant them in his place. And then one night, I can only say it was a very divine encounter which happened then. And I must say, from that time on, something changed. I became a happy individual. I was not happy before. I come from my family background. I'm a post-war generation person, and they are normally not so happy. They have some trauma or some difficulty, but I did change, and my whole life took on a very joyous nature. And even when there were obstacles, which I have seen also, health obstacles, misunderstandings, you know, the normal things we all go through in this world, I never lost that connection to that divine encounter, I would say, which happened in Ekachakragram. That is all what I can say, because super private things cannot be told in internet. But when we meet in the future, I can maybe say more. When the person who put this wonderful question meets me, we can talk more. Good.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. We so much appreciate you giving an insight and showing by your own personal example how Lord Nityananda is acting in our lives even today. It's such a powerful point. Thank you. Our next question comes from Shahana. Shahana asks, "I don't think I have done anything as bad as Jagai and Madai in this life. They were not even looking for the Lord's mercy, and I think I'm actively looking. And yet, why haven't I gotten that mercy that they got?"
you asked a very personal question. And see, Jaga and Madai had what is called sambandha, a connection. They met Lord Nityananda, they interacted with him. And I believe personally it is in this sambandha, which means a relationship, where the whole key to a spiritual fulfilling life lies. See, I became aware of this when I heard of one elderly lady. She was a devotee of Lord Ram, and she had gone every day to the temple to worship Lord Ram. Yet when she came into her old age, she felt not really connected with Lord Ram. She had seen the deity, she had done everything which was to be done, and prayers and all. And she decided to ask the priest of that temple. The priest heard her question. She said, I'm now old. I have maybe one more year to live, but I'm not thinking of Lord Ram. I'm thinking of my grandson, of my family members. I'm thinking how to put everything in order. My mind is not satisfied and rested. It does not rest at Lord Ram. What can I do? So the priest thought, this is such an important question. And he said, can you please come back tomorrow? I want to have the whole temple and the whole ashram there when I try to give an answer to your question. So the next day this lady came. The temple was full of the congregation. And the priest explained. He was an elderly man. He said, please listen to me attentively as I share my conviction and what I have seen in all these years. This lady has asked a question which I think many of us have. I feel I have not yet obtained any mercy and anything. Why? What is the cause and how can I correct it? And he then said, has anyone ever told you, he spoke to this lady, who Lord Ram is, how he feels, how he thinks, what is his mood? Have you, when you've done your many things, ever thought of him as a person, as the most dear person? And understanding how he thinks, how he feels, what is his mood. Only when you can enter a close relationship, in Sanskrit, sambandha, then you will have the spiritual experience. And Shahana, believe me, I'm giving retreats all over the world and on the holy name, and I meet many who ask me how could it work for me that I chant with devotional feelings and that my heart gets transformed. And I always tell them, you must chant with the relationship. When you chant the holy names, you must be mindful of the person whose names you are chanting. You can look at him, you can draw your mind back, you can read about him, you can listen about his glories, and all this must be present. You know, when you have a meaningful conversation with anyone, you need to become personal. You need to be there for that person. You need to, how do you say in your English language, you need to attend to this person. You need to be mindful of his sensitive feelings and so on. And then an amazing relationship can develop. But if it's only a Facebook relationship, you know, a Facebook like, what does it mean? That doesn't mean anything in real life. No? So yes, you can follow many, many years a particular spiritual movement or a religion and so on, but only when you make that point of sambandha, relationship. As you are now, you should make a relationship. Don't make an imagination, imaginatory relationship, if that is an English word. Don't construct something which is miles away from the reality of your life. No, make a relationship as you are now, and then the Lord will talk to you. But we are so mindful of other relationships, of other concerns, of other... you must cultivate it so that it's daily, so that it's there throughout the day. And then, not that it's an on-off relationship, but that it's there throughout the day. And then, rest assured, an avalanche of mercy will come to you. Sahana, I know you, and when we meet next, we can talk more about this in person. When I get these questions, I cannot now talk to you like I would talk when I see you, and when I can perceive where there is a block in you, where you have made a wall around you, between you and Krishna. I even if I would now know it, I can't say it on the internet because that would be offensive to you, and I will not do this. I'm a polite person.
Our next series of questions are around the wonderful strategies and steps you gave to access divine empowerment. The first comes to us from Hari Prashad Prabhu.
Ah, yes.
Next is from Vishaka Devi. So I'll ask them.
I see you, Hari Prasad. You are there in a small window. And I see your parents as well. Yes. Please say.
Joyous family. Yes. So Hari Prashad Prabhu asks, how do we become detached from our plan when our plan is a spiritual commitment we've made to Krishna, like a prayerful promise that gives us hope? When it doesn't work out, it can be heartbreaking or even have spiritual consequences.
Please allow me to put these questions out of the religious context for a moment, learn some principles, and then put it back into the religious context in which you have asked it. See, there is one very interesting rule about investments, which investors keep. They invest a lot of money in a project, and then they hope that the project will stand on its own legs and even bring in projects, that it is a viable, that the investment becomes a viable investment that brings returns, right? So there is a crucial point in this. It is, when does the investor pull back and take back his Lakshmi? Or when does he keep on investing, hoping that one day it will fly? I hope my English here was not my enemy. See, you invest in, it's also in relationships. You are with a person, you are in a good marriage, but I mean, let us say a friendship which you have. And the friendship is at the moment not going so well, but you think, let us spend a little bit more time, let me invest a little bit more energy, maybe also help, and so on. And then you see, oh, it's still not working, the person is still difficult, and so on. So there comes the time when you have to ask yourself, is it wise to invest more in this relationship, more time, more energy, and so on, maybe even finances? Or is it maybe time to say it will not work, we are too different, and you move out of the relationship? So in all investments, money, relationship, friendship investments, and so on, you come to a point where you have to ask, is it wise to continue, or is it better to withdraw? Does this have a chance, or does this not have a chance? Huh? So this was the non-religious context, but I wanted to just bring out a principle here, which we all know. And now let's bring this to your question. When you have made spiritual promises and they do not work, you should always keep them, no matter how hard it is. You should find ways how to make them work. You should not withdraw. Let us say you have given a promise to chant 16 rounds a day, or you have given a promise to keep certain regulative principles in your life. You should, before making such commitment, think about it. Can I do it? Do I want to do it? And then you should stick with them no matter what life throws on you. And even if you are sometimes not victorious, let us say you cannot chant 16 rounds one day because there's just too much to do, or you are distracted, you are sad all day, or whatever. You should say, okay, today I did not really become successful in it, but I will not give up on the principle. I will try in the future, and I will do even more. I will catch up, and so on and so forth. You can do like this. But then, if you have a project in your service, and you see that I'm talking now of something else, right? And you see it just does not work out, and it may be just my plan, and it may be just because I have a head made from teak wood, it is very thick, and so on. I'm sorry, that's how we speak in Germany. I hope it does not sound offensive in the sweet English language. Holzkopf, we say. Then you may have to say, okay, here I have tried so much, it's now becoming an over endeavor. It's called adhyahara, prayasas, an over endeavor, you know, a prajas, and it doesn't make any sense now. I must be detached from my plan. It seems it is not Krishna's plan. Though there are two things in spiritual life: there are those where we don't budge an inch, those projects, and then there are those which have to do with our own, you know, thoughts, what is best to do. And you know, when the time has come to step back, or when it's time to continue, if you don't know, because it's very difficult to see that point, ask others. It's said in Kali Yuga, you come to a wise decision when you have the counsel of many on a subject. But it's sometimes not easy. Oh, Hari Prasad, I know this. You have invested so much Lakshmi in one project, and the project just does not fly, a temple project. And then should you close it? Or should you try more and more and harder? I would say close it only when it's absolutely sure that it will never fly. It doesn't feel right to close something so quickly. No? Good. That's as much as I can say here. I hope you don't have something concrete in mind, which I did not, where my advices don't work or didn't give good answers. Good. Let me just now see. Yes, I think what we should do is maybe we should have one more question, Venkatabhata, one final question, and then end. And I will be very quick in answering the question.
Perfect. Thank you, Maharaj. And we want to apologize to all the devotees who asked so many wonderful questions. We weren't able to get to them this time. We do hope that in future sessions, you will have opportunities to put your questions forth. For this final question, I want to ask a question from Vishakha Devi, who asks in a similar vein, when it comes to accessing this divine empowerment, she asks, how do we simultaneously work on our own advancement and put forth our own endeavor, and yet also be ready to open the heart to accept mercy without falling into the trap of thinking ourselves the doers or the controllers?
Do you know which Vishakha it is? Is it the Vishakha from who's the temple president in Bhaktivedanta Mena, or is it another Vishakha? Do you know?
Maharaj, I'm not sure if Vishakha Devi, if you are with us and able to identify yourself.
Vishakha from Germany.
Vishakha from Germany, okay. There is a very simple formula which works very good. Do your best and let Krishna do the rest. This really answers the question about how much we should do on our own and what and how is it, how important it is to ask for divine empowerment. It is really that sentence. In that sentence, believe me, there are 50 years of personal experience, 50 years of studying in the scriptures, and I'm happy I can boil it down. So if you have a pen and paper, please write it down. It really works. It's the Vedic scriptures totally support this vision. It's very brief. Do your best, whatever, you know, go to your borders, even your limits. Do your best and let Krishna do the rest. That is, give space, you are open for Krishna's divine plan to work with you. But if you don't do your best, Krishna might be silent because he will think you are really indifferent. You really don't care, Krishna. So I will end here, but before I will give the last word to Dayal Gauranga, or our host, I want to just do one last thing with you. It will take us 30 seconds only. I wish you to sit, I request you to sit straight. Please take a few relaxed breaths. and close your eyes. You know what it is like when there's insecurity and an uncertain future before you. The people in the areas of the conflict have that feeling a millionfold. You know these few moments where you feel helpless and hopeless. The people in the conflict areas know this feeling many, many fold, much stronger. You may have been once or twice in a situation where you're very hungry and very thirsty. There was no food and no drink. The people in this conflicting area know this feeling very, very much. So I request all of us now to send a heartfelt prayer to the Lord that all these people will be helped, that there will be peace in their heart, that they will be free from pain, and that they will not lose their hope. Please say your personal prayer. I will tell you when the time is over. Start now. Thank you very much. It was, as always, a great honor for me to lead you through these sessions. Next session, I will try to do the impossible, to be more brief and give more time for question. I hope I will be successful, but the subject is just so wonderful. So let us now turn to... I think Venkata, will you make the final announcements? Good.